unthinkable crimes perpetrated by criminal minds, political ties, habitualized alibis, disguise, and other guys.
Listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. This month's Board of Directors meeting will be held on Monday, May 19th at 6 p.m. The meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. The time is 9:01 a.m. Next up is Veterans Voice Radio Show.
Portland calling. Sisters and brothers, welcome to Veteran Voice Radio Show on KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, 104.3 FM in Corvallis, 91.9 FM in Hood River, or on the World Wide Web at KBOO.FM. I'm Marvin, and Ty's engineering for me, and I appreciate it. I want to say hello to Gary and Darla back in Nebraska, my Army buddy, to Kathy out in Aloha, and Mitty and her grandchildren, and a big happy birthday to Mitty. She's having her birthday on Monday, and I hope she has many, many more. She's a good friend. And to my buddy Jim in Gresham, and to my new friend who I've been spending time with, she's very, very, very good. And yesterday we spent almost all day going over things that I'm going to be talking about on the show that she's came and up with, and I think that there's going to be some very, very interesting programs coming up. Also, there's one organization that she turned me on to, and I'm going to contact them, and I will probably have a over-the-phone interview with the founder of the organization. It's really interesting about what they do. They're peace people. They're just like us, you know, and their belief systems just like we are. And from what my friend showed me, she just explained it, and then I went on their website, it's pretty interesting, you know. AI's a bad thing on a lot of stuff, but these people use it for good, the AI for good, and I was really surprised how wonderful the thing that they're doing to help us trying to deal with the craziness that's going on right now with this fool in the White House, you know, People's White House, that he seems to be wanting to make into a business and make a lot of money on it. We can never, ever forget our sisters and our brothers and our children in Gaza. Every day they're being slaughtered. Every day. Families are being wiped out. They herd them around. They want to push them where they can control them. That's apartheid. What they're doing is definitely a war crime. And the United States government is just as guilty as the Zionist government that's killing our children in Gaza. Oh, from what I've read, 50% of the population in Gaza is children. I know Vietnam veterans, when they hear or see pictures of the children in Gaza, that they think back to Vietnam and what happened to the children in Vietnam. I'm going to read in just a little bit. I'm going to read what my buddy Mike, who's been on the show with me before, what he wrote, and it's just amazing what he wrote, and I'm going to read some of it. But as usual, my printer didn't work, so I'm having to do different. I'm having to switch back and forth on my phone and my computer to get stuff going, and I'm really not good at this, but I'm going to try. I think I can do it, Ty. I think I can do it. So I'm going to get here and see if I can get it up. Let's see if it's kicked in yet. It's pretty slow, but what I'm waiting for it to come up, I want to talk about something. And that is what this morning I was up very early. I was up around 5 o'clock and I was listening to the radio, and I heard that they want to use the National Guard to round up or whatever our sisters and brothers with or without green cards. And I thought, I don't think they can do that. I don't think they can do that, but I went in and looked under the Posse Comitatus Act, and it covers active duty, you know, federal troops like the Army, Navy, Marines, and Space Force. It covers them, but it doesn't cover the Coast Guard, because it's military, but it's under the Department of Homeland Security. But I was reading up about the Posse Comitatus Act, and the Posse Comitatus Act the Posse Comitatus Act was originally made in 1898, and it was used to keep the South happy, to keep the troops from going down into the South. And it originally applied only to the Army, but then they, you know, it's more came online. They added the Air Force and all those, Navy and Marines and the Coast Guard, but the Coast Guard's under Department of Homeland Security, so they can do whatever they want with it. And you got Trump, you know, he's supposedly the commander in chief, and he could care less about our sisters and brothers, you know, getting rounded up and taken out of the country. What happened to due process? Due process is just part of our Constitution. If you're in this country, you go by our rules, and our rules say you have a right for due process. And they're taking the people right off the streets, putting them in vans or whatever, taking them to their prison camps, which I say concentration camps, not giving them everything they need, separating the children from their mothers. That sounds like something that happened back in 1939 in Germany, doing that. And that's not our country. That's not our country. Okay. I got some I want to do here. I'm sorry, but it seems to be a problem tie with this, with what they're doing to our families. I'm trying to get this up, you guys. So hold on and give me a little break here. Let me see if I can find it. Here we go. Well, this is one that my friend and I were working on. She turned me on to yesterday. And come on, I'm so sorry, everybody. I'm trying to do this and it's not working.
What are
you trying to do? My computer. I'm trying to turn this on. Hold on. I think I can maybe get it here. Let's see what we got. Oh, I got it. Okay, here's the one that she told me about. And the one thing that I didn't know that she wrote down about, that Steve Witkoff went to the Middle East and was making all these deals. You know, he's not part of the government. He was at one time part of the government, but he's not part of the government now. But he's going over there making all these deals. He doesn't answer to the State Department or anybody. He answers to Donald the Tramp Trump, in the White House. And we don't know what he was in Saudi Arabia, for one, and we don't know exactly what the deals that he was making. With Saudi Arabia, we know what Trump was making, but we don't know what this guy Witkoff is making, because Trump's changed the whole thing. He doesn't go by the Constitution. He goes by whatever he wants to go by. And that hurts us as a people around the world. And here's what my friend, I'm going to read some of it. U.S. and Saudi Arabia signs a $142 billion weapons deal. $142 billion weapons deal. The United States and Saudi Arabia signed a $142 billion arms deal on Tuesday, which the White House described as the largest defense sales agreement in history. If I remember right, Saudi Arabia is a monarchy, and they kill their own people that don't agree with their government. The U.S. will provide Saudi Arabia with the state-of-the-art war-fighting equipment and services for over a dozen firms, from over a dozen firms, the White House said. Was it Saudi Arabia the ones that was bombing Yemen for all those years? The deal includes Air Force advancement and space capabilities, air and missile defense, maritime and border security, as well as information and communication systems upgrade. The deal is larger than the one inked in 2017 during the U.S. President, Donald Trump's first visit to the kingdom, which was worth $110 billion. Trump, who arrived Tuesday at Riyadh, signed several agreements with Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman on cooperation in the energy, defense, medical, and space sector. The agreements include development and modernization capabilities of Saudi's armed forces, judicial cooperation, medical research, according to the Saudi state television. And these pictures, boy, Trump looks awful orange. He looks awful orange. But why are we selling all this armament to these folks over there? I mean, how are they going to use all that? That's a lot of weaponry, $142 billion worth of weaponry. That's a lot. And who's going to, it's going to be a small fraction of our society here in the United States are going to, you know, profits from that. It's going to be the big arms dealers and everybody, and the workers who work in these plants to make these weapons of death. Who are they, you know, who is Saudi Arabia going to use those against? And Trump was there, and he spoke very little about Gaza. He said he wanted to make it a free zone, whatever that means. That land belongs to Palestine, the Palestinians. The West Bank is occupied more than ever it have been before. They're tearing up the IDF is tearing up streets. The settlers are burning down homes. And we're still supporting the Zionists in the government of Israel. So we have to. I have been going to these rallies downtown, and I went to rallies in North Plains, and in Forest Grove. And Hillsboro had a big one. I didn't go to it. But tonight there's going to be a rally in Forest Grove. It's going to be at the big, tall flagpole where they've been having them in Forest Grove. It starts at 4:30. All of our sisters and brothers out in that area, I hope we'll go to it. I'm going to go to it. I'm going to pick up my neighbor, and we're going to go to it. Heidi can't go because she's another really good friend. She's not able to go because she has to have PT, physical therapy, and but she's been going also. So, but she got to take care of her health. But it's at 4:30 in Forest Grove at the flagpole. People around that area know this flagpole. It's got this huge American flag on it, and you drive into Forest Grove and you see this big, huge flag flying down there. Just crazy. What else did she? Got so many things that my friend wrote down here, and I can't read her writing very well. I should have done the writing, but she did the writing. But that's okay. That's okay. There's a real problem in this country too, and I found a new organization that my friend works with too, and it's called Center for Victims of Torture, and it's really we don't think, as a country, we really don't think about the torture of people around the world. I mean, when the U.S. was taking these people and putting them in these black places, and torturing them, taking them down to Guantanamo and torturing them, then we thought about it. But every war, people get tortured. Women get raped. Innocent people just get killed. And this organization, they deal with victims of torture. It's the Center for Victims of Torture. If you look it up, it's really interesting. I wish my friend would go to work for them. She would be really good at doing that. I'm looking for some more of the stuff I want to talk about here. Oh, here it is. I got it. This should work. We'll see here. Yeah, here we go. This is a really good one. It's called The War Horse, and it's by veterans. They've started this, and it's called $1 trillion. $1 trillion, that's the military budget coming up. They are a great organization. They deal with gender, they deal with health care, human rights, military families. They do writing seminars, symposiums. I tried to contact them, but I couldn't get a hold of them, but I'll try again. They're really work with our sisters that were in the military. Our sisters, getting lucky with. It talked about female pilots flying helicopters in war. African boy saved lives helping American soldiers. It could have cost him his life. There's some good articles, but there's also good articles about, not the really bad parts of war. And the children that suffer, their families, their bombs destroyed and still threaten villages. Vietnam era veterans are going back to help and heal, talking about Vietnam. It's just trying to be good at my job. Transgender troops brace for decision on military ban. And that's all Trump. I mean, Trump had his chance to serve his country in Vietnam, and he didn't do it. And I don't have a problem with guys who didn't go to Vietnam. I really don't. But I do have a problem with these guys that didn't go to Vietnam or in positions to send others to war. And that includes the orange man sitting in the White House. Well, he's not there right now. You know, he's over making money. He's over making money. I have a problem with that, a real bad problem with that. And also, my friend turned me on to a really, really, really interesting group. And I've been getting some text messages from them. And she watches their, they have these videos on stuff. I'm going to bring them up right now and tell you about this group. It's called Combatants for Peace. They are amazing, amazing. I'm going to join these folks. So I'm going to type this in. Okay, here we go. Right there. Combatants for Peace. Okay, hold on. Oh, come on. It takes a little while for this to come in because here we go. Combatants for Peace is a grassroots movement of Israelis and Palestinians working together to end the occupation and bring peace, equality, and freedom to our homeland. They are a group of ex-combatants who threw their weapons down and decided there's a better way to do it. And they do some wonderful, wonderful, wonderful work. And I'm going to read some of it here. They just had my friend watched it. I couldn't watch it. It was a six joint Nakba remembrance ceremony, holding on to home, holding on to hope, and they did it. It was over the internet, and it was in people in Jerusalem, Berlin, New York, all over the place watched this. This video. If you want to see it, you can go to combatantsforpeace.com and watch. They're doing some really good work in over there. I don't know right now if they're in the West Bank. I know they're not in Gaza, and I don't know right now if they're in the West Bank, because the West Bank is getting just annihilated. And here's advocacy and raising awareness, building community across borders, education and empowerment, work on the ground. I'm going to go into work on the ground and see if I can get in there. Just tell what they do. They plant olive trees and just other just great things. But what really got me is I've signed up for their web page. You know, they send out different things over the internet. They have a Hebrew, their newsletters in Hebrew or in English. Let's see here. Here we go. See if it works. It's not going to work. But here it is. We are raising our voices to push our leaders to stop perpetrating war, occupation, and the cycle of violence. At Combatants for Peace, we organized joint nonviolent demonstrations in the West Bank to shine a light on ongoing injustice and challenge the occupation. In our joint demonstrations, we stand side by side, Israelis and Palestinians, to protest settlement expansion, home demolitions, and severe restrictions on Palestinian freedom of movement, and the siege of Gaza. We are also active within the coalition of Israeli left-wing peace activists in Israel, co-leading protests against the occupation and toward freedom and equality for all. That's a brave bunch of people. That is really brave people to be doing that and taking all everything that the Israeli Zionist government can work on. Our activists use nonviolent resistance to support Palestinian communities in the West Bank against human rights abuses. They have some pictures. You can see pictures. We support Palestinian communities in the West Bank through practical solidarity-based actions. This includes organizing joint olive harvests, planting trees, and rebuilding homes following demolition by the military. These acts affirm the right of communities to remain on their land and sustain their way of life, turning everyday existence into a powerful form of resistance. They have lots of pictures of folks, you know, doing the work that they're doing over there. And the one thing when my friend turned me on to this, she said that I should just go through it and look at everything that they have on here. And the one thing that really caught my eye is civil disobedience. What they do. For civil disobedience in the West Bank, and the IDF really mishandles these people, really violently mishandles these people. We challenge the structure of oppression through nonviolent civil disobedience. Our activists put their bodies on the line to confront unjust policies and violent practices, refusing to comply with the occupation system. These actions disrupt injustice and highlight the power of peaceful, nonviolent resistance. Boy, how can you do a better statement than that? In a war zone, these people are putting their lives on the line. There's no way that the government of Israel would even let these people near Gaza. These are people, these combatants for peace were soldiers on both sides fighting each other. And they threw their rifles down. They said, "We're not doing this anymore. There's got to be a better way." That's just like happened in Vietnam. People said, "This is enough." In Vietnam, people were refusing to go out on patrols. They were refusing orders from their commanding officers to go out and kill innocent Vietnamese families. Some of the people that were really strong on this in the movement in Vietnam were our our black brothers. They were very adamant about it, not obeying orders that they thought were wrong, because they knew what was going on, what was happening to these people, and they remember how they were treated back in the States. Remember when we were in Vietnam, we were too young to vote. They hadn't made the vote down to the 18 years old at that time. So here we were in Vietnam, and we couldn't vote. Couldn't vote. But our black brothers, they were very, very good at the refusing to obey orders towards the end of the war. My good buddy Mike, he was telling me, he was there in 1970, and he was telling me how the military was in Vietnam was just disintegrating, just falling apart, and the drug, you know, earlier on, people were just, you know, smoking pot because they had all kinds of pot. I never smoked any pot, but the guys were smoking pot, and then the drugs started to get harder and harder. They started putting opium in the marijuana, and then heroin. Heroin became a problem in Vietnam. The heroin that the soldiers were using in Vietnam, and they, I never saw any, but Mike was telling me they came in very small little glass vials. And he said in the mornings when he would go out of his he was a medic, to go to his medic job there on K. He said there'd be all these little empty, those little jars or whatever you want to call them, that there was that they had the heroin in. So the really disintegration of the military. The military was just falling apart. Was falling apart. I want to see if I can get Mike's what he wrote. See if I can find it. Thanks for putting up with me today. I wish I could have had all this on a piece of paper, but my computer said no. Okay, here we go. Okay, got it. Okay, here we're coming up. Here we go. Come on, Mike. Oh, I got a message. I'm also on a lot of things. But the National Whistleblower Center, I'm part of that. I really enjoy that. I support our sisters and brothers. Okay, here we go. I'm going to put Mike's up here. Mike's a great guy. Okay, here, I'm going to read it. A motherload of lying. Touching the names on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. is like touching the connecting lies of the United States Empire. Feel the last breath of dying soldiers as you run your fingers across thousands of names. Hear the medevac helicopter land as teenagers are frantically loaded on choppers for the long trip back to their hometown funeral homes. And while this truth is connected to the names on the wall, your government will eventually be committing perjury, as it will be lying under oath, so this war can be repeated for profit. The ruling capitalist elite do not consider the American war in Vietnam to have ever been a mistake. Any more than the Iraq war was a mistake, any more than the Afghanistan war was a mistake, any more than Gaza is a mistake. War will always stand for wealthy or richer. Most Americans do not believe this because whenever the truth threatens one core belief system, there is an urgent need to deny its reality. That is why history always repeats itself. So what do you think of all this, General Smedley Butler, two-time Medal of Honor recipient? Well, Mike, I wrote a book about that in 1935. It's called War is a Racket. Signed, Mike Hasty, Army Medic, Vietnam. When you try to stand up and look the world in the face like you had the right to be there, you have attacked the entire power structure of the Western world. James Baldwin. James Baldwin is my hero. I read everything he has. You want to put on that second song for me? I'm going to play another song here. I get carried away talking so much, but there's so much to say what's going on in this crazy world. And here we go. There we go.
To keep the world alive and war to cease. We gotta have joy. True in our hearts with strength we can't destroy. People hear us. Making save the children, the little ones who just don't understand. Give them a chance to breathe their young and help purify the land. People hear us, through our voice the world knows there's no choice.
That was Curtis Mayfield. He made that song, I believe, in 1971. We gotta have peace. Gotta have peace. We gotta make everything better for everybody. You know, we have to share everything this country makes. We gotta share it with the rest of the world and not just keep it here. I'm going back to Mike here. This is a picture Mike sent. And he's in Washington, D.C. He's at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Wall in D.C. And it's a really a, if you go ever go there, you're going to be very humbled when you, it's a black granite with the names and the years with the names on it. Just thousands of names of people who were killed in Vietnam. And he's got his hands on two different names. It says, me, Mike Hastie, touching the names of two soldiers on the wall who I saw die. Two quotes by Robert McNamara, who was Secretary of Defense under President Kennedy and Johnson. He was called architect of the Vietnam War. Here's what he said. I knew the war in Vietnam was not winnable as early as 1965. In order to do good, you may have to engage in evil. That's what the leadership of this country said about the war in Vietnam. You might have to do bad to make it... Oh, man. I want to go back and read one more... That James Baldwin, I'm going to read it again. When you try to stand up and look the world in the face like you had the right to be here, you have attacked the entire power structure of the Western world. And that's James Baldwin. Boy, he hit it. If you get a chance, you should read some of his writing, some of his essays, some of his books, some of his poems. Boy, he's one of my favorite writers, is James Baldwin. I remember reading him in high school. He was so great. And here's another one. But this is not by James Baldwin. The most effective way to destroy people is to deny and obliterate their understanding of their history. George Orwell. Just don't let anybody know their history. You know, from the time the first colonists came to this land. Don't want you to know how they slaughtered Native Americans now. We don't want you to know that. But we want you to know how we fought the British during the Revolutionary War. And I'm sad to say I had ancestors fight in the Revolutionary War. And they fought in the War of 1812. And they fought in the Civil War. And they fought in the war. And they fought in a war. And they fought in a war. My grandpa was in World War I. My dad was in World War II. My uncle Eldred was killed in the Korean War at the age of 19. Cousin Bill and I were in Vietnam. My little brother was in the Navy. My other brother didn't go in the military. I'm glad. He had a high draft number. But my youngest brother, who passed away at age 55 from cigarette smoking, gave him cancer. And one day he asked my son, Brandon, he said, are you going in the military? And my son answered him, no, look what I did to my dad. So I never worried about Brandon going into the military, which is good. He didn't go. I'm going to try and find a few more things. I only got short time left. See if I can get this other one up. Come on. My machine. I promise the next show I will have my printer working, and I'll have this all written down so I don't have to go up and down, up and down, up and down. What is... Oh, yeah. This is a good one here. Well, not good if you're Vietnamese. Okay. Just... Trump halted an Agent Orange cleanup that puts hundreds of thousands at risk of poisoning. Yes, he did. In mid-February, Trump administration leaders received a desperate warning from their diplomats posted in Vietnam, one of the most important American partners in Asia. I can understand that. Partners. Workers were in the middle of cleaning up the site of an enormous chemical spin in Binh Hoa Air Base that's outside of Saigon, when the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, abruptly halted all foreign aid funding. The shutdown left exposed open pits of soil contaminated with dioxin, Agent Orange, and others, but Agent Orange. The deadly byproduct of Agent Orange, which American military sprayed across large swaths of the country during the Vietnam War, which the Vietnamese called the American War. After Rubio ordered to stop work, the cleanup crews were forced to abandon the site, and for weeks was covering the contaminated dirt with tarps, which at one point blew off in the wind. And even more pressing, the officials warned that in February 14th letter obtained by ProPublica, which is really good, ProPublica, Vietnam is on the verge of its rainy season with torrential downpour are common. Boy, is that true. Whew. With enough rain, they said, soil contaminated with dioxins could flood into nearby communities, poisoning their food supplies. Hundreds of thousands of people live around Binh Hoa, the old Binh Hoa Air Base, and some of their homes abut the site perimeter fence just yards from the contaminated area. And less than 1,500 feet away is a major river that flows into Ho Chi Minh City, which used to be Saigon, with a population of 9 million. Simply put, the official added, we are quickly heading towards an environmental life-threatening... I can't read that part. I can't see it. Oh, they received no response from Washington, according to three people familiar with the situation. Instead, Rubio and Peter Marocco, I never heard of him, another top Trump appointee, have not only ordered the work to stop, but they also have frozen more than $1 million in payments for work already completed by the contractors the U.S. hired. The company overseeing the project, Tetra Tech, a publicly traded consulting and engineering firm based in the U.S., and Vietnamese construction firms have been tasked with the evacuation work. Then on October 29th, Rubio and that other guy canceled both companies' contracts altogether before apparently reversing their decision about a week later, according to records show. It's something else that these fools did. I want to talk about, I don't have time, but I want to talk a little about suicides. And if you are a veteran and you are having trouble, please, 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 you can dial 988 and then press 1, and that'll get you to Veterans Hotline, and there'll be people there will help you. Because we need you veterans to be out in the streets with us. So if you are having trouble, please, please call 988 and then press 1 for the Veterans Hotline. Donald Trump took away funding for that, but there was so much pressure on him that he had to give the funding back so that the hotline could, I don't think they're back to full force yet, but to bring so that our sisters and brothers can have contact with mental health that will give them help. I was reading, and it just made me so sad, about our sister veterans. They are committing suicides at a high rate. They're committing suicides more than the average in a population. Our sisters are committing suicide. Suicides are up between 25% and 40% in our sisters, veterans, and that has to be stopped. You know, families need to really be around our sisters, and our brothers, we need to be around our sisters too. And please, 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 sisters and brothers, please call 988 and then press 1 to contact the Veterans Hotline, and you will get help. You will get help. But, you know, they can only, you know, the percentage of the veteran suicide is probably higher than they said, because they only deal with the ones that come to the VA. They don't deal with the ones that don't come to the VA that commit suicide. So please, please, sisters and brothers, contact the Veterans Hotline. Please do that. Only got a few minutes left here. I want to thank everybody for listening to me rant and rave, but things are not good. Please be out in the streets. Go to the rallies that are going on now. We have to stand up. We have to make a stand against this wave going towards fascism in this country, towards our authoritarianism. We have to stop that. It's a small percentage of these people doing that to us. I want to wish Mitty a happy birthday again, and I hope she has a wonderful time. I want to thank my friend for her helping me out and making things easier for me. We'll be back on July 18th, and Ty, there it is. Thank you, everybody, and I'll see you on July 18th.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 10 a.m.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. Support for KBOO comes from its members and Oregon tradeswomen, presenting its 30th annual career fair. Employers, unions, and training programs will all be on hand with career path info. May 17th from